Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hold on. Listen, I got to figure this out.
Another announcement?
I got to figure this out. Are you two going to fucking battle in season three?
I challenged a couple weeks ago.
I remember that. Are you guys going to fucking do it?
I challenged the twins, Randy and Jason, to battle each other.
Now.
And at the time, it looked like you would rather kill each other than do that.
But. I love this guy like a brother. I'll use that in the show. You know what? We'll do it for you guys because we love this show.
Fucking love it. Battle! I love you guys.
Hey, it's the Roast Battle Podcast. I'm here with Pat, Coach, and we're sitting down with the Roast Master General Jeffrey Ross, recapping Family Night. Now, Jeff, this was your big idea to bring families together, or at least split them up maybe after this one. And you had a husband and wife and Joe List, Sarah Tolomash, and then identical twins, Randy and Jason Sklar battle. Now, how did this idea come to you?
Well, we'd had a lot of exes battle in the belly room. You'd book people that have dated. And right. I always thought, wow, man, I don't know if I could handle that. And then I try to, like, follow that discomfort. You go, why? Why would that be so scary? You know, that's got to be the scariest thing ever. Roasting a family member, a loved one, an ex, or somebody you like. Yeah. You know? And I do know a couple that roasted each other once and became a couple. So, like, sometimes the tension of it all is exciting. It's really fun to watch. I think that when the Sklar brothers agreed to be roasty, to roast battle one another, which was historic already, brothers, twins, and their careers are intertwined. You know, who is the funniest Sklar brother? That was the mission.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not the one that died at childbirth, which was the joke I think I did on them.
Right.
And find out really what makes them tick, see if we can learn anything about them. And what we learned was they really are both funny. They really do both crush it. They are a team in the most beautiful sense.
Yeah, because that one ends up in a draw. So we'll never know who's funnier now.
We did a sudden death with that. And in the end, I called it a draw. So I did hear some people, you know, saying that was not a great call because people want a satisfying ending, which is one Sklar brother being funnier than the other. If you're a Sklar Brothers fan or the Sklar Brothers, that is not a satisfying ending. That is not going to generate ticket sales now that we know that Jason's funnier than Randy or Randy's funnier than Jason.
Yeah.
It doesn't help anybody. Yeah. The fans don't. I mean,
so you save their bottom line, basically.
I feel like we also give more credibility to the judging because who are you going to tell me? You got a real reason one was funnier than the other?
No. And that's the thing. It was close enough where, you know, even if some people thought Randy edged it or Jason edged it, there's nobody who could say definitively that one of them won.
And if I can't say it definitively and I feel myself picking somebody I might like better, then I stop myself. Like, I have that filter.
And that's how you judge.
And not every judge does that. Judges go in ahead of time knowing they're going to pick their friend.
Right.
Or, you know. So, not all the time, but I think sometimes.
You have to be unbiased. Yeah, as the roast master, you have to be unbiased.
And I've noticed, like, a lot of times in the belly room show, black people will say, I'm picking the black guy, and women will say, I'm picking the women because you're a woman. It's like, to me, that does a disservice to what the judging of roast battle is, which is in the moment.
Gotcha.
You know, I don't like anyone more or less enough to, like, cheat. Like, you know, if you and Coach T are roast battling, you know,
you're going to pick the black one.
Maybe I know you better, Moses, but if he does a better battle, not that he battles, but we battle, but I'm just saying,
he'd probably win.
I don't pick my friends.
He killed the sound effects.
You hear that, Moses? No more blacks or women judging from now on.
That's what I got out of it.
Donald Trump presents roast battle.
They went double overtime too. Like they called for one of their own overtimes, and then there was an official overtime. And after all of that, he still didn't know the live battle.
Yeah.
I feel like they earned that draw. The draw is a perfect outcome for them. I didn't think about it beforehand. Maybe tossing it to the audience wasn't my best moment, but we were really out of options.
Right.
The ref didn't call anything, so I wasn't
going to call that because, you said if it wasn't definitive, I wasn't going to call it.
Yeah. You know? Roast battle, at its best and worst, the judging is a little punk rock.
Yeah. It's great because we actually have the Sklar Brothers coming up a little bit later to interview them about their battle and how they felt.
Oh, great.
Now let's talk about one that was clearly not a draw. Joe List and Sarah Tolomash.
That wasn't clear.
That was clear.
You love Joe List. You love Joe List.
I like Joe List.
You're biased in that sense.
She did her thing, but he was all right.
As a husband, I think you're biased. I think you're standing behind the man because you're a husband also.
I thought her performance was next level last night.
She killed it, yeah. I mean, I thought it was clear.
It was clear?
She took him down, yeah.
Yeah, I think so too.
Oh, man.
He had some great moments, but they were like kind of in the comebacks, and he was hitting and being funny. I really feel like she roast battled.
Yeah.
I think she's
got a side of her that is like the roast battler.
I guess my concern is the perception of it is how hard could Joe really go and still have a connection with the flam? No, I was worried about their marriage, but I think they have such a good connection that it's okay. I was completely wrong about that. But how
this
hard?
Is the first time we've always had paramedics and PTSD experts backstage. This is the first time we had a divorce lawyer.
But how hard? One of the Sklars.
How hard could he have gone and not lose the crowd though? Because I felt like he was like, what can I really do?
He was definitely teetering on losing the crowd a couple of times.
That's what I'm saying.
Through no fault of his own.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
I want to
pick on your wife, buddy.
Exactly.
Right. As if she didn't sort of sign up for this.
Right.
You know, they're both in it together.
People forget that sometimes. We're not making them do this. They're voluntarily doing this.
Yeah.
I guess.
I
think it's probably cathartic, and I bet they had the best fucking fuck session of their entire marriage.
Yeah, Jim, tell him.
Because what could be hotter than...
Were you there?
No, but I'm guaranteed they said, let's roast at some point.
Okay, so we got to play a clip from their battle, Joe and Sarah. But before we do that, I have a special announcement. Hey guys, we got a book about us. Be sure to check out the new book, Ringside at the Roast Battle, by journalist Julie Seba. She traces the story of the show from Comedy Store open mic to global phenom in 5 short years. Also featuring on-the-scene photos by Troy Conrad. Ringside at the Roast Battle is available now at Amazon.com. And right now, listen to Joe versus Sarah.
Joe, Sarah, who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Husband, wife, till death do you part. Joe, you may diss the bride. Let's roast!
Oh, thank you. Sarah and I, we did get married last year. Sarah refused to take my name because she's a strong, independent woman who makes her living opening for her stronger, more successful husband.
When I first started dating Joe, he was an alcoholic, has OCD and herpes. I know, he had more red flags than the Chinese army, except the Chinese army has a chin. I love you.
Sarah, you beautiful, talented woman. I'm not good at this. Sarah and I have our own Me Too story, unfortunately. Every time someone comes up to me and says, I think your wife stinks at comedy, I say, me too.
Ouch. Joe has OCD, which is weird because his dick is a mess.
Hey, this is Brian Moses with the Roast Battle Podcast, and we're here with the Sklar Brothers post-battle. where their battle resulted in a draw. Fellas, how do you feel post-battle?
It was great. I mean, we loved it because we didn't know what to expect. I mean, we've judged a ton of battles in the belly room. It's our favorite thing to do.
Thank you.
Truthfully, hey, listen, I mean, he's the roast master, but I mean, we have a great time doing it because it's part, you know, I watch the battle for real. You know, we really judge it for real and say, this is what you need to do better. And this is what you could have done here, also with a bunch of comedy. So we know it really well and we love it, but never did we think, oh, we can do this. And, you know,
because it's also not like when you think about what our act is like building on each other as opposed to tearing each other down. And so we just weren't sure we could.
What I loved about the battle was you talk about how your regular act is building each other up. And that's what you did in the battle while tearing each other down. Like the exchange about the hemorrhoids earlier, like the chemistry. Even when you guys went in on Jezelnik or Jeff together.
That was my favorite. Because I was like, he's coming at us with fire. He's going to come out with something. And his joke, I've seen you guys. I know you guys for a long time. It was just nice to see you guys get laughs on stage. Which I told Dan Van Kirk, who does the podcast Dumb People Down with us. And he was like.
Nice plug.
And Dan, thank you. And Dan was like, so Dan, who's ever the positive person, is like, so he had to admit you guys got laughs.
Even in the rip.
Even in the rip.
We were
ready for it, and we were so ready to be like, we wanted to do what's called when each of us start to pile on, our friend Scott Rogowski, who hosts HQ, another plug, sorry, but our friend Scott Rogowski calls
how many name drops are you gonna have this show?
He calls them Sklarvalanches.
Oh,
it's like an avalanche.
Joke.
So it's like, okay, Jeselnik.
But you talk about, and we talk about this with you with Moses. We're studiers of this, of the roast battle. We love the roast battle. Nobody promotes it more than we do on our podcast and in general in the world, because we do feel like we came to it as fans and then got to be a part of it. But I do think that the best roasters are the people who take the roasting format and they're doing it, but then they make it their own and put it in their own voice. So it sounds like them. It's unlike anything that's come before it, but it's still roasting.
Right. You guys put it in two voices.
So it was an energy between the two of us, Pat, where we're like, okay, there's got to be energy between the two of us. The way we normally fight when we fight in our lives, that has to translate. There has to be real anger between the two of us.
There has to be dialogue in between the jokes.
Yeah.
That's funny. That is funny.
The asides, right.
Yeah.
All of that stuff.
It brings it to life.
And even if you're not saying a joke, even if Jay was like on stage, one of my favorite moments is like, can I get to my joke?
That was my favorite too.
I'm like, what are you doing? Get to it.
I mean, my favorite moment was that you brought that energy that we're used to at the roast battle into it when you demanded your own overtime, when Moses tried to get on stage and you were like, no, we got more.
Because I was feeling the energy, so I love the realness of the reaction and then what that made us do and then waving you off and then like in the middle being like, how come no one's roasted Jeff? Nobody's
loved
roasted Jeff. And I'm
thank you guys, finally.
Because we know great roast comes from love, and there was a lot of love between the two of us, you know.
Absolutely. And
for
showed.
Jeff. And for Jeff,
and
too.
And for Jeff, too. I mean, that's our... I remember, like, in 1994, going to New York and working at Boston Comedy Club with Jeff Ross, who had hair at that time. That's how fucking long ago it was. But he's doing bits about, like, living with his grandpa and his grandpa's saggy balls. And I mean, I can remember all these...
Classics.
He was...
Classic balls.
We had him on our show in 97. Like, Jeff has been a part of stuff that we've done...
Absolutely.
...forever. So to be able to, like, give it to him...
Felt great.
It just felt great.
And he loved it, too.
Loved it. He loved it, and again, in that moment, we were almost saying thank you for pushing us to do this.
Yeah, because you guys didn't want to initially.
We did not want to. Originally, you and Jeff asked us, and we initially said, I don't think so. And then Jeff said, just, you know, do it. But
because Jeff's like, in my mind, I see what this is going to be. He could see, because he has this wide view of the whole thing, and he was like, this is going to be great because we've never done this before and you guys can do this in a way. And I know
and we've never done it before. We built a whole career that's been in a different direction. The whole career was almost a setup for this being a punchline.
100%, by the way. I mean, I we could all see it. And then like every time you guys were in the belly room judging, we could see it too. Like, oh my God, these guys going at each other. You guys scholarized the rose battle.
So what I loved is when a week before we're judging in the belly room and before it's over, it's on Periscope, everybody who's watching, I love that you did this because you were like, there's no turning back now. There's no turning
you
back.
You asked us in the room, will you do it? We hadn't signed and told Comedy Central before we were going to do it. You're like, are you guys going to do it? And we put us on the spot.
Real moment. We're like, yep.
We're going to do it. I guess we have to. And Jeff said something so great. He said something that Jon Stewart said to him. He passed that on to us where he's
love these name drops.
He was like,
seriously. Jeff dropped that one.
he said, live in the discomfort. Out of the discomfort comes funny. We were uncomfortable with the notion of
why what's wrong?
Because number one, we had never done it before. Yes, we had judged and we had done roast judge, but like there is a different we
have a respect for it. It's almost like it's like Siegfried and Roy, you know, the tigers are there. It's like you got to love them, but you got to realize that they could bite your fucking neck off.
Right.
So you realize how difficult it is.
And the better comedy.
Oh, we had Siegfried and Roy on. They weren't as good as you guys.
They're not as funny. They're not as good roasters. Yeah.
I mean, one of them went for the other one's throat.
but it is. I was talking about this last night after the show. I was like, comedy is this like illusion. It's like a magic trick in that the better you are at it, the more the regular people who don't do it think they can do it because you make it look so easy.
Right.
So we're smart enough to see the strings and be like, it's not that easy. You can't just assume because we've judged that we're going to be good roasters. So we were taking it very seriously.
I knew y'all was going to be high.
Yeah, because you guys are students of comedy. You guys are students of this. You guys are awesome.
Y'all funny is really underrated. And it's really kind of sick.
Backhanded compliment. I think you're funny.
I'm trying to get you that commercial, man.
Listen, you guys are everybody's favorite nobodies. I've said this many times.
Which is like the nicest thing. And then every time I think about that, I'm like, why are we?
He's right. It's so sad. It's so sad. Because really, when you're with us, you're in good hands. Like,
State Farm.
That was Allstate.
That was Allstate, bitch. I took it to another place.
So we're progressive guys over here.
What I know people at home want to know, like, because what you said, Pat, on the rollout show, you was like, I never battled my brother. Did you guys have like shit you couldn't say to each other?
Is
that a conversation?
Yes.
Because there's stuff that we're like, how is this? Because we said, what's the pathway for the absolute best show? We knew we had a narrow pathway to do what we then were able to pull off out there, which to us made us feel great. Okay. Because we were like, we have a build. It's like, it's Star Wars. It's the last shot. You got to get it through the thing, and then it goes down there.
And that's the only way you blow up the Death Star.
You can't blow it up any other way. Like, that's the one to do it. And so we were like, I mean, there's things in Jay's life. Like, Jay's wife had a miscarriage. Am I going to really go after that?
Yeah.
It's like,
my wife's written a lot about it, and it's a big part of her career, and she's,
it's deep, and it's.
So it's in her act.
It's in her act. No, but it is one of those things that, like,
part
that
of shtick.
It was a deep, it was a deep, deep thing for us. And I know you, Pat, you
went through
lived
the same
through
thing.
It yourself.
Hey, guys, I had one too.
Hey,
that you know about.
Yours doesn't count.
Mine doesn't count.
It was like high school.
So you were
like, that's a miscarriage.
But hey,
it's a half a point.
It's still a dead baby.
But, yeah,
guys,
no,
it's,
you're right.
It's
you're
nature's
right.
Abortion.
Look,
stuff.
Listen to me.
I heard the words dead baby. I'm like, stop. Is Jeselnik here?
No. But what I'm saying is that's something that's like deep and me and meaningful to us and me and my life. And we were like, you cannot touch that.
And what's the point of going? Because
nobody wants to hear that.
But by the way, we've seen you roasted, and people go at it. Like, they'll
big
go
time, yeah.
hard
yeah.
at that in the belly room, and we're like, that's not us. So that would be us putting on a different set of clothes to do this thing. And
yes.
Again, we were like, how do we do it in the way that is the best version of what we do? We're great joke writers, we believe. We can deliver the jokes really well. We have a great chemistry on stage. So that's what we're working with, as opposed to, like, there's some areas we don't want to go.
You guys avoided being unnecessarily mean just so that you can be true to yourselves.
And also, you got to look at, like, you know, we did this a lot on our show Cheap Seats. Like, sometimes you'd have a really good joke, one joke, but if you did this joke, it would wipe out the three jokes that follow it, and it would not make them hit at all, land. And so you're like, what's the trade-off? Like, I guess we could do this one, but then we lose these three that are all the amalgamation of those three is worth more than that one.
But that being said, you guys found really good middle ground because it's not like you went easy on each other.
No.
You said he was a bad father. He said you're not in a healthy relationship. I mean, I said
we have our birthday together just so it shows that he has friends too. I mean, we did not hold back in those ways.
okay. And speaking of that battle, let's get into a few joke exchanges from Randy versus Jason that premiered on Comedy Central this Tuesday.
All right. Brothers, are we ready? Let's roast!
Battle!
I love that sound. Randy and I share the exact same DNA, which means I could kill and he could take credit for it, which is exactly what happens whenever we do stand-up comedy. Jason had a hemorrhoid surgery that didn't work.
Okay.
So win or lose tonight, his ass is getting creamed. You're like my hemorrhoids. You're shitty and I can't get rid of you.
Yeah.
And yet somehow you're a giant pain in my ass.
Okay. Can I do my jokes?
Do it.
Order.
Randy was raised as a Jew. Spoiler alert. Then he married a Jew, and for some reason, they have a Christmas tree in their house every year, which I think is funny. And I remember one time he asked me where he should put the tree, and I said, put it under the photo of our grandparents who hid during the Holocaust.
Why you got a Christmas tree?
My wife grew up with it. You want the real reason?
I wouldn't know what they eat, man.
So my wife's grandfather worked for IBM at a time when Jews were not allowed to work. Like, IBM was slightly less anti-Semitic than the Klan.
Wow.
So shout out to the Klan. Shout out to the Klan. Are we dropping
names? We're name
names?
Dropping.
I'm dropping names. I'm dropping sheets. He actually worked with IBM and created the computer program that decoded the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Wow.
So he worked with this Padre Busta, this guy in Italy who worked with the Vatican. So he's working high up, high clearance. He had to lie and say that he wasn't Jewish. He did not have a Jewish name, didn't really look Jewish, and had to lie and say. So her mom grew up with a Christmas tree in their house growing up. And so like that, it just got passed down in the same way that, and so even though she's Jewish, and I never had it. And Jay and I, this is such a bone of contention. If my parents kind of, if our dad was alive, he'd be like, what the fuck
are
you
doing with that stuff?
And so thankfully he's no longer alive to see that. But it was a very hard thing, and I pushed back on it really hard. So, I mean, Jay bringing that up in this thing is a very much a like,
personal.
Yep, my wife won that argument. My kids, so that's in my
house. He emasculated you with the Christmas tree.
So now I got a Christmas tree in my house, but it was great. And our mom's parents hid from the Nazis in the Holocaust. So it's not even like we're making that. That's real. You know, and again, every role that we've gone out for together, Jason's got over me. It just has happened that way.
Seriously?
I love that you say it just has happened that way. Like it happened to me. Like I didn't earn that shit.
I'll be honest. I hope the Nazis never find your family.
I mean, they still could.
Look, we're not going to Argentina anytime soon.
Yeah, right?
How does that happen? Like, how does that...
I mean, it's because we don't do it that often, and he just... I give him credit.
Better.
I give credit where credit's
better.
But y'all,
I'm better. Who's the favorite? Who's Mama Sklar's favorite?
She will tell you there is no favorite.
Yes,
there is no favoritism. And to their credit, our parents raised us in a great way to not be super dependent on each other to where we don't have anything else out around us, but also to depend on each other and be like, yeah, this is your best friend. This is someone who, it's more than a best friend. This is someone who you can...
It's like a brother.
This is very real.
This is very real and truthful and deep. And this is, our parents had a baby girl a year before we were born and she died days after she was born. 1 year to the day after she died, they didn't know they were having twins. They got two healthy babies. Wow. It's like biblical. That's like a parable that you don't even like understand. And that informs the way they felt about us for their entire lives. They were grateful that they had us. They couldn't believe that. I don't know what they believed in. I don't know what their God situation was, but I know that they believed that they were given a gift. Something was taken away and their lives were destroyed.
And they, I think, said, you guys are special. You guys can do something great. You guys are
whether they knew what it was going to be. They knew it was the roast battle. They knew that's what it was.
They could foresee me telling you.
The only thing they foresaw was Coach T. There will be a man. I see a coach in your future. I see a T.
Who's bad?
But they really instilled in us the belief that we were special and were put here on this earth to maybe do something unique and special. And I feel like we've lived with that in the back of our minds and our subconscious forever. And that's what gave us the confidence, I think, even in this moment when we didn't think we could do this thing, to do it.
Yes. And you guys perform admirably, and thank you guys so much for doing it. But I bet your sister was fucking hilarious.
Oh, She would have been great. She would have been one of the greats. She is now going to be a subject of an Anthony Cheslin.
No! Yeah, so you guys didn't beat each other. You guys tied.
I mean,
It was a draw.
Well, so we went at each other hard. I mean, we went at each other. I
imagine you guys. I remember you guys didn't want to go that hard.
Yeah. I had 9 jokes, and I was happy with all of them. I had one extra one that I didn't do that I was like, this is not going to do well. But I was like, because of Jay's situation, he's got littler kids than me, and just that I have to do more of the work in our relationship. Mm-hmm. It just falls to me more. I'm like, you know, Jay worked really hard on his jokes. It's the first time he's ever worked on.
Right.
You know, he's never worked that hard on anything that we've both done. I was like, which is why Jay is nothing like an abacus, because you can count on an abacus.
That's
now, great joke, but people would, there's no way.
I don't know what that
no
is.
No way the hotties in the front row would know
what
it is.
First calculator code.
It's an old school,
old,
you know, you take
the beats,
you take the beats,
you count.
Okay,
how the hell was I supposed to know that?
Exactly. You aren't.
You go to school.
I said, my joke that I didn't do was the one I did in rehearsal, and I was like, I burned that one, which is that... second grade, I was identified as gifted. And then every year after that, Randy was identified as Jason's less gifted brother.
Right.
That's a great joke. Yeah. So those are the two.
I was going to say, our last year, Randy was identified as juror number 6.
Hey!
So those were our 10th joke. So we wrote and were believed in them and were ready to deliver them and like wanted to deliver them. So we went at it hard. I literally stood at the end of that, and I'm like, I don't know who did better.
I thought that if I was judging our own battle, okay, I thought Randy had 2 haymakers in there that really landed.
They hit.
But he had one, the one about the friends was the only one that got slightly less. The birthday party got slightly less. I would say I didn't have quite as high a highs as he did, but every single joke that I did.
And then the overtime jokes, we told 4 more jokes. We told one in the judging, too. So all the overtime jokes
were even.
I would say they're even. So you got to ask yourself, who's the winner of a battle like that? Someone who has 2 big scores or someone who has all of them scored?
And by the way, we've judged. How many times have we judged? I mean, we judge every month.
Right, okay, right. So we've judged, and I've seen, you know, we've judged winners all the time. And I've seen maybe, okay, so do you remember that battle that was the guy in the wheelchair? I forget his name. I love
Joe
Uro. Yes. And the guy who's transitioning.
Woman.
Robin
Tran.
Robin Tran. Yeah, we just played that on the last episode. Yeah.
Okay. And played it on
series. So that one. That was a tie.
That's tech.
So that was a tie, right?
Yeah.
That was a tie. And as a judge, you never want it to be a tie, but
right.
I have to tell you, I sat and watched that battle, and I'm like, I don't know who is going to win this thing, and I feel comfortable giving this as a tie. So in the lore of the show, I'm thinking about this as I'm standing on stage. I was actually thinking about that battle. I'm like, in the lore of the show, if this is a tie, if you put your hand over my head, which is the way you do the undercard battles, and the audience cheers, and then Jay's head, and the audience cheers, and you can't really tell the difference, then that's it.
Oh, yeah, we went 8 Mile. I mean... The audience may not see that, but yeah, we went 8 Mile and said, all right, we have to decide something because the judges can't decide and we don't want to tie. We want to split these guys up. Who's the funnier Scholar? Mm-hmm. And then they said, they like both you guys.
Couldn't do it.
And again, I mean, I don't feel bad about that outcome. It's not like I needed to know who's the funnier Scholar.
Because you already know.
And it's me. I have the prettier eyes. But the point is that like, in the role to play your life, I would get that role. He'd beat me out for it.
We're looking for a Randy Sklar type.
Jason. Got it. Got it.
Damn.
Hey, that was the Sklar brothers. Thank you guys so much for joining us on the tie. We didn't find out who was funnier, but ultimately you guys are both funny together.
Who is cuter.
And keeping up with the family night theme, we've got an old school battle in the belly room between exes, Dan Nolan, our favorite ex-heroin addict, versus his now ex-girlfriend, Nicole Buchanan, who she lost her virginity to.
You're a gentleman. Let's do it, Nicole. Dan, we ready. Let's roast!
Nicole has resting face.
Dan had to stop dating black girls because he kept trying to snort the ash off their knees.
Nicole has a gay brother, so at least someone in that family knows how to suck a dick.
Hey,
once got drunk and pooped in a washing machine. So just like you, it got clean, but it's still a piece of shit.
The reason I broke up with Nicole is because if you really care about someone, you should let them go. Fuck a bunch of black guys.
Jamar, get to the belly room. Jamar, get to the belly room.
You know, Dan, a lot of people ask if we'll get back together, but I guarantee you'll relapse on heroin before I relapse on mediocre dick.
He took your virginity like 3 months ago. How do you have anything to compare that to?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
The ugliest hosts in podcast history. Coach T, Brian Moses, and Fat Pat Barker. And Jeff Ross, the Roast Master General, signing off for another edition of the Roast Battle Podcast. We love you. Thank you, fans.
It's a good show.